everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Wednesday, the 17th of December, from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., we're doing a special mini drive. And this drive will be focused upon what is occurring now in the streets of America, how we've become a police state, the shredding of American democracy. We're going to explore with more than 30 individuals how we got here. People such as John Whitehead will be talking about the rise of an American police state to protect the ruling political and corporate elite. We'll be having Professor Andrew Cullen on, talking about violations of privacy and spying on citizens. Kevin Carson on militarization of local and state law enforcement. So many individuals talking on how we got to where we're at. Please join me and others Wednesday, the 17th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. as a mini fun drive on Police State USA.
You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM Pacifica Radio and online at WBAI.org.
The role of media in a democratic society should be to empower people to make decisions.
WBAI, speaking truth to power for over 50 years.
You have very few powerful media outlets that are actually doing the two things that I think are the most central aims of good journalism, which is to give voice to the voiceless and hold those in power accountable.
WBAI, your community alternative.
I'd rather be. You're tuned to WBAI in New York City, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Catherine Davis in studio with Paulette Spencer. And we are experimenting here. And the working title for this interim period of programming, I had decided on Earth at Midnight, because it's a little bit of a composite of what came before and what will come beyond, because here we are on this planet, which these days seems quite small in terms of there's so much going on in the world and so much revelation taking place in the world. And we're seeing some horrible things, we're seeing some wonderful things, but what's happening, it seems to me, that truths are being revealed, probably truths that people who listen to WBAI have known about and have rallied against for generations are being revealed to the mainstream public. And that's kind of interesting. And I'm referring to this report on the CIA, enhanced interrogation torture techniques by the CIA. And it's reported that they spent over $300 million on these enhanced torture interrogation techniques. And it seems to have been proven out that they're actually not getting any information that's useful from torturing people. It's, to me, kind of a small wonder. What would you think you could get from that other than having people tell you whatever you want to hear?
Which is something that was pointed out over and over again. Mm-hmm. Many times on this station.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that, but I'm very heartened that it's actually made its way into the public domain. It's interesting how things are changing in such a rapid way, because this is something that normally would have been entirely suppressed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's an interesting revelation. And I guess we can add that to the mix of what we are sharing today. In a sense, I'm relying upon many of you who are listening, because you probably know more about this than I do, because I don't really or haven't been following the story. But it is kind of interesting that it is happening, it is out there, and change is taking place in a massive way. I mean, when I see this, it reminds me of the, like the Pentagon Papers and Watergate break in, you know, revelations and
Iran-Contra.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of, you know, when these revelations broke and the, you know, the ensuing changes that took place in the world. I mean, I remember Nixon resigning on TV, you know, over the Watergate break-in. And, you know, so it's kind of interesting to see, you know, this starting to happen again. It makes me wonder what's going to arise out of this. And I would be curious to see what other revelations will come to the fore. And, you know, I wonder about all the people who got drawn into that mentality, like this was something appropriate to do, and hopefully maybe they'll now close down Guantanamo, that prison.
You know, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? It was promised that it would be closed down, but promises. So let's see what we can play for you now. We're going to, for those of you who want to join us, you can join us by phone. The number is 212-209-2900. And essentially, my production focus is in the realm of spirituality and consciousness. But really, you can't be a spiritual warrior in the world without being aware of the politics that need to be changed, because, you know, it's the oppression of people's souls that, you know, brings the most heinous crime, I think. The number is 212-209-2900, and I'm going to play a little something, perhaps, from Odetta.
Now you masters of war, you that build all of the guns, you that build the dead planes, you that build the big bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind desks, just want you to know that I see through your mask. You that never done nothing but build to destroy, play with my world like it's your little toy. Put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes and turn and run farther. When the fast bullets fly like the Judas of old, you lie, you deceive. World war can be won. You want me to I see through your eyes, and I see through your brain, like I see through the waters that run down my drain. You fasten the triggers for the others to fire and sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion as the young people's blood flows out of their bodies and buried in the mud. Well, that's the worst fear that can never be heard. Fear to bring children into the world, threatening my baby unborn and unnamed. Oh, you ain't worth the blood that runs in your. How much do I know? to talk out of turn. You might say that I'm young. You might say I'm unlearned. But there's one thing I know. Though I'm younger than you, even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. Well, that's the worst fear that can never be heard.
Odetta, wow. And you're listening to WBAI in New York City. I'm Catherine, here with Paulette, and we have a caller. Hello, you were calling to speak about Guantanamo.
Hi, dear. Thank you for playing that song by Odetta. I mean, a beautiful version.
Yeah.
Quite poignant. Very, 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 I don't know. It's beautiful, and it says so much.
It really does. It really does. And so thank you. Paulette is supplying some of this music this evening, and that was a beautiful choice.
Beautiful.
Yes.
And now, the question that I would like to ask on Guantanamo, I've heard that one particular... Well, they are releasing and transferring those who were kept there in prison for over 12 years without charges. No charges made against them, and yet they can't go home. I don't really understand why they can't go to where they were born and have family members and are familiar with, you know. Why can't they go to their homeland?
Well, that is really a good question, and I don't have a technical answer. I would open up the phones to others who might want to comment on that, but to me that seems to be part of the overall crime of torture that's being committed against these people.
And may I just say this, for those countries who are accepting them, and they are of course getting a financial reward for doing so. I know one particular prisoner, there are 300 or less than 300 Muslims in the country's total population.
Wow.
The world should be speaking up against this. The other question, which sort of goes along with my question, is in police brutality on people of color here in the United States, there is a fixation of torturing, killing, torturing by means of wood, the ramming of sticks up prisoners' anus, and this, of course, the case with Luwema.
Admiral Luwema, yeah.
Right. And there are other, I mean, in reading in histories, in history noting how slaves were the male's testicles taken off and ripped apart by horses, and wood actually driven up the anus of men, and the cutting open of women, their stomachs, and even the wearing of women's vaginas, Indian cutting them out and using them as hat bands. You know, all of this really grotesque, barbaric, I don't know what adjective could be fitting to describe the behavior. But yet, keep in mind, this is done by soldiers, and soldiers are given extra points. Mm-hmm. They're favored in joining the military. So what you have is a mindset that's transferred from the fields of an undeclared war, but a war that's declared on a people, okay, mm-hmm. by the powers in power. And these people are those who have left one army to join another, the Blue Army, the Police Army.
Yeah.
And they carry the same tactics. And I was just, thinking on what you said, and these thoughts came to mind. So perhaps if there is someone out there that can shed some light, give some answers on why you would take a man from the land where he was born, his father's father was born, he may have a wife, children, and say, well, oh, you can gather your children, your family, and we're going to take you to a country where you may not know the language.
Right. And actually, a lot of the prisoners at Guantanamo are actually children.
Okay, customs or anything. And mm-hmm. if the children at Guantanamo are...
Or at least they were when they got there.
Okay, when they were, then I can only assume the molestation that may have occurred among those children. When I think of how the people of Australia were brutalized, when I think of the people even in the, I think it's Samoa, the last Samoan died, I don't know the year. But these are people of color, people, descents of Africans, mm-hmm. and, the children being bred to bring in a white line, to breed out their natural pigmentation and produce a class of lighter-skinned, blue-eyed, whatever, younger. So, and then have these children placed for adoption.
Well, you know, the litany of crimes, we could go on forever, so I don't want to do that. But I do understand what you're saying, and I understand the depth of your wondering and, you know, feeling this these crimes against humanity is all I can say it is. But it's something that goes back quite far. I would say at least 300 years, 400 years, this has been going on. And I think that it is really a crime against humanity that has been handed down from one generation to the next generation of power mongers, you know, the people who are exploiting the world in order for its resources, for its finances, and in order to exploit a people or exploit a continent, you have to destroy those people. And I think that's part of where this all is coming from. As far as the police, remember, I believe it was when Giuliani was in power, in at least in New York City, there was an era of militarization of the police force. And so I don't even think it's necessarily that the police officers were in the military. The police force is now a military force, and they are in many ways mind-controlled and put into a situation where they function not as a as a service to humanity, but as a you know, as a brutal force within the communities that are tagged to be exploited. So it's a major problem, and I think that the problem can only be solved from within. I was watching that video of the killing out in Staten Island, and you know, I've seen a lot of protests. In fact, I took a picture right near my house. Someone put his, you know, the form on the ground, and they wrote, "I can't breathe," and so these markings are all over the city. And I have to ask myself, not only, it's not just a cop who did it, but what about all the 20, 30, 40 cops who were standing around watching? Why didn't a single one of them have the courage to stand up and say that this is wrong, or to have the courage to, you know, to stop this behavior? I mean, it's like what happens is that there's a mentality, a pack mentality, and there's a systemic system in which everyone is protecting. The courts are protecting the cops are protecting each other, and there's not room for a single person, at least they must feel there's no room for them to stand up for what's right. So everybody collaborates, and people who otherwise might go home to their families and be a very loving person doesn't have the consciousness to be able to stand up and stop this behavior. And I think that's really what it's going to take. I don't know. What do you think, Paulette?
Well, you know, what you said,
I'm going to, Paulette's going to speak, then we'll come back to you, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, what I think is sort of the irony is that they went after the young man who actually took the video.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
And so, apparently the same day that non-conviction came down, he was convicted of charges of one, on the very same day at a different courthouse.
Wow.
And he said openly that he was fairly sure that this was basically payback for his taking that video, without which we wouldn't know anything.
You know, the world would not know if it wasn't for that young man. And he has a court date coming up quite soon.
Hmm.
And he's being represented by a person that, oh my goodness, Alton Maddox?
Oh, okay.
Let me rephrase this. Alton Maddox will be in court with him.
Okay.
As, you know, a consultant. I don't know exactly how it will be, but all I know is he will be there. At least I was told. And I think it would, at this point, going to court gives us insight into either the deterioration of democracy, the justice system in the United States, which means, you know, when I was younger in school, we spoke and learned of the fall of the Roman Empire and the causes. I don't know if they still teach that, but you know, I'm thinking now, another thought has I'm entertaining, and that is how the country, in wanting other countries to adopt democracy, the question is, what is democracy?
That's a very good question.
What is democracy? Does it mean that you are in a police state? Does it mean that you have cameras? And does it mean that your police are guardmen or hired guardmen for property and not for well-being of people? Does it mean that your police can 5-6 pounce on a person? And policemen, I mean, average, they are pretty well built. You have five or six people pouncing on a person and another one choking them. That person is dead.
Yeah, well, that seems to be the case. But I think also we have to look at the breakdown of our political structures of democracy. You know, there's been a systemic breakdown and attack on people, certainly in this country, over maybe the last 100 years. I mean, other than the basic atrocities in gaining the country from the indigenous people who were here in this continent. But, you know, the breakdown of the unions, the breakdown of corporate laws and separation of corporations. You know, when they came up with the law to make a corporation like a human being and to have the rights of a human, in doing that, they took those rights away from people and gave them to the corporations. So there's if we look at all of these little steps that were taken that brought us to this place where we are right now, you know, I would question whatever democracy is, I don't believe that we're living in it. We're living more in a state of fascism than anything that I would characterize as a democracy. So sometimes, you know, there are big questions, but a lot of it, I believe, is because people allowed it, you know, out of fear, maybe, over the whole September 11th alleged takedown of the World Trade Tower. You know, a whole bunch of new laws were built into that, and all of those laws were a compromise of our basic human rights, civil rights. And so when we look at what occurred, we can see how it all broke down. So it's important that this consciousness become streamed into the main consciousness, mass consciousness, so that it can really change. I gotta run.
Let me just make this one final thing.
Yeah.
And I thank you for giving me the time, but you posed another question posed, which is, how long has this been in plan, in development? Because I don't think it's so much as the system breaking down as much as the system being attacked and destroyed at in certain points to produce what we now have, which means whatever the master plan is, like the King Oscar's plan, you know, for corralling people in somewhat concentration camps,
mm-hmm.
if things go wrong here in America.
Well, America is a concentration camp, but that's another story.
Oh, wow, yes. But, so the question is basically, what is the master plan? What are the objectives of this master plan, and how far is the master plan advanced?
Okay. Well, it's a good question. Thank you. Paulette, you wanted to respond to some of that?
Sure. I mean, I think my own sense is that if you're going to talk about the word democracy, it changes meaning depending on who's using it.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Because someone who has seemingly limitless resources, I think it's quite democratic that if they have the resources, they get to make the rules,
mm-hmm.
including domestic and international standards. And so it's really one of those elastic terms that it means something different depending on who's using the word.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I suspect that democracy is not a real thing. It's, you know, it's just a concept, and it's a brand, maybe. You know, it's the American brand that we've been selling all over the world to democratize countries. But in that process of democratizing country, usually the sovereign elected leaders of those countries end up getting assassinated in that process of democratization. So I don't know.
Maybe democratization in that context is a sort of equivalent of a corporatization.
Yeah, interesting. The number here is 212-209-2900 if you wish to join in our conversation. And just as in tribute to that last call, I'm going to play another piece of music. Thank you.
quiet. Take that ride across this bloody river to the other side. 41 shots cut through the night. You're kneeling over his body in the vestibule, praying for his life.
Okay, that was a fairly intense piece of music by Bruce Springsteen, 41 Shots. And that was back when Diallo was shot. The show is taking a bit of a political turn, which is really interesting for me. So let's go to our first caller and say hello. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hi, just a quick point. In the same way that Douglas MacArthur and the Americans gave the women the right to vote in Japan in 1945 and gave land rights to the people, there's a woman in Afghanistan named Faja Kufi who is a member of the parliament, and she's wrote a book called Favorite Daughter. She's running for president, and she basically is saying that the gains that have been made in the 12 years there by the women are tremendous, and that there are 3.5 million girls in school. And what she's saying is, in the same way that in the South, the gains were made after the Civil War, that 12-year period when the troops were pulled out, and then the Democrats introduced the Klan to terrorize the black population, she's saying that that's going to happen if the Americans leave too soon. So she's pleading with the West to stay. And she's never been interviewed on Hypocrisy Now once.
Thank you. Well, we'll see what's possible.
It's inconceivable. She's never been on Amy Goodman's show, and she's the bravest woman in the world. So where are the women to back her up and say, yeah, let's recognize the gains. You know, let's recognize that. And we see what happened in Iraq. What's going to happen in Afghanistan is going to make Iraq look like Disneyland.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Maybe we can find out more about that.
Why should we wait? Why don't the women here stand up and support her?
I think that they should look into it.
She's never been on Amy Goodman's show.
Well, I'm not here to review Amy Goodman, so thank you very much. You know, what can I say? I'm not her producer. Hello, you're on the air?
Yes.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let's
comment on what's going on.
Yes.
And we have a situation in the United States, it's at its peak, unless all the people, and I've been to demonstrations, and I see the cross-section of the United States, people from all walks of life, people in wheelchairs, with their grandmothers and grandchildren marching in several of these demonstrations now and in the past. The big task we have, how do we change the government? How do we change the Congress? They are all polluted and corrupted, one after the other. It doesn't matter if they're Republicans or Democrats. This government has had an agenda from way back. First, we've seen what happened to Native Americans, our brothers and sisters. Now we see what's happening to the Black Americans. And their agenda is very simple. Look at the numbers. It's plantation, project, and prison for the Black Americans. How is that going to be changed? And who's going to do the hard work? It's up to us, all of us in the United States. And I've been a supporter of WBAI for a long time. I wish there was somebody that could start organizing the people to do something about this disaster. And not only the blacks are kept down. Yes, we have a president that is black, half black and half white. We have Oprah Winfrey, a billionaire. We have so many other actors. We have rap singers. We have basketball players in sports making millions of dollars. But that's a few compared to the majority of black Americans. They represent less than 15%. That's roughly about 45 million people here. Be kept down on purpose to make things even worse. We have an educational system that is down a drain and bringing down the rest of the population, black, Hispanic, whoever it is out there, are being affected by this agenda, a hidden agenda from the higher-ups. It doesn't matter what color they're in power. They're all the same garbage. They should be removed.
Well, thank you. I understand that frustration.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts on what a solution might be?
Yes.
A nonviolent solution?
The nonviolent solution, yes, it's very simple. The people, the corporations, which this government is a servitude to the corporations, they only have one belief system. And their power and their belief system is the debt presidents and the money. One solution for the black Americans and all the people, stop buying from the big corporation that contribute to the corrupted politician. They're all bought and paid for by the corporations.
That's a very good solution. I like that.
Black Americans must do one thing, especially now. This is the perfect time. Life is about timing. They should stop going to buying things for Christmas, gifts, whatever, in the big stores. Just go around the neighborhood and buy simple things.
It's a great solution. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Answer. Money is the answer. Hold on to the money. Trillions of dollars that black Americans spend at all these superstores, and they get nothing for it.
Okay. Thank you.
Solution.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
That's actually a good solution. All right, the number here is 212-209-2950. I think that, 2900. We're not pledging today. 212-209-2900. And I do think that it's important to, we do want to vent our frustration and recognize the wrongs that have been committed, is to look for viable solutions to what's happening. I really think that that's important for us all. And to begin to recognize that what you know, the situation that's happening in our communities, in many communities, Black communities, Latin communities, Asian communities, where there's this conflict being created between the police force and the people, is a serious issue. But I think that this needs to be addressed in a very concrete way through the court system. Maybe through some kind of class action lawsuits, or, you know, some way of reestablishing our human rights. We have a lot of calls that are trying to come through. Let's say, hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Kathy Davis.
It is. Please turn off your radio.
Okay.
You're listening to WBAI in New York.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
We met a couple of years ago. Basically, in America, we don't believe in the law of karma. We don't believe that there's going to be these people that are perpetrating, violence. They don't believe there's going to be a reaction. So we have to. There's so many things that have to be done, but basically, like the last person was saying, boycott. You have to boycott all the violence, anything coming from the slaughterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe we can't get everybody to do it, but those that are a little bit more conscious, say 10, 20, 30%, they have to give up all types of violence, especially the slaughterhouse. There's a connection between the slaughterhouse and war and the police violence. There's a connection. So we have to stop the cause to change to get a better effect.
Okay, well, that's an interesting connection, and I can see that connection, the violence against the animal relations on the planet is something that people don't really consider, and it's something that we need to consider, as well as the violence against the planet herself that's taking place. So I understand that, yeah.
Is Dick Gregory still on the board? On the?
No, that was a long time ago.
Okay, he's probably 85 or something.
Yeah.
But I may retire. But the thing is, he had a perfect, way back in 1968, he came to my college. And he said, if you boycott phonograph records, that was a big thing, and LPs. If you boycott buying records for 3 weeks, the war in Vietnam will be over in 2 weeks. The thing is, probably you cannot organize. They would have some, but at least individually, like that song by the Young Rascals, got to stop it individually.
Yeah.
So we, like the last person said, you can't keep on buying, you can't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. It's something the psychologist that on at 1 o'clock?
Armand DeMille.
Yeah, he's saying it. You can't expect a different result if you do the same thing. So we have to change ourselves also.
Well, I think that you make a good point. A lot of changes will only occur on an individual level. People have to reclaim their consciousness. People have to reclaim their sovereignty, stand up for its rights, and speak up. You know, that brave young person who took that video is now being prosecuted. But, you know, the police force and the firemen and all of these forces promote themselves as being honorable and brave and courageous, when in fact, I would say that they have been displaying quite the opposite. And individually, people have to reclaim their rights and reclaim their compassion, as well as stand up for what's right. And that's the hardest time to do it, in the individual situation on the ground, when you're facing something taking place either around you or within your community, in your workplace, maybe your friends or your coworkers or your family doing something, and we need to stand up in those incidences and stop or document or in some way call attention to the fact that we are individually contributing to this whole massive mess that's taking place. Now, there's a lot of programming that's happening to affect our minds and to get us caught up into these cycles of thinking, but we have to each individually pull out of those cycles. I appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hello?
Yes.
I'm the Hare Krishna guy. We're gonna do a program on BAI.
Oh, I remember. Yes, thank you.
Call it Transcending Kali Yuga.
Yes, I remember very well.
We're in Kali Yuga, and that's the problem. Kali Yuga is so much hypocrisy and quarrel, you can't get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
So how to transcend it? All right.
Yeah, that is the question. And actually, we are in that transformational process, and that's why it's even more chaotic. Thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. The number is 212-209-2900. And there were a couple of calls trying to come in. You can call back now at 212-209-2900. If you want to offer some thoughts. And I really think that it's important for us to recognize that, you know, it's easy when we say that the people in power are doing this to us, or we can say, you know, this has been the master plan. And while all that may be true, it could not succeed without the cooperation of those being governed. It would not be true without the cooperation of those being harassed and harmed. So we have to, in some measure, come to an understanding of what our part in this game is and reestablish the rules according to our own sovereignties. I mean, I think that's really an important part of it. And a big part of finding your sovereignty, in my opinion and based on my understanding of humanity, is in recognizing that we are of divine origin. All human beings are of divine origin, from my perspective, and need to be honored and respected, and we need to honor and respect ourselves and each other. And that's going to be a part of it, and until we do that, I don't think we're going to be able to take back that power. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
I just a quick question. It almost seems as if because America helped the women, that the election in Afghanistan was completely ignored, where millions of women came out in April and voted. And they all wore blue burqas and to match the blue ink that they voted with and with their thumbs. It almost seems as if because the left so resents America that they won't even recognize that these millions of women have been uplifted. And instead of championing that and backing that, and, you know, you understand what I'm saying? It almost seems like you didn't hear anything on WBAI about it. You don't hear anything from the feminists or anything. I mean,
I understand your campaign, and I thank you for that.
Is it a campaign, though? You're a woman, right?
No. I'm talking about your campaign with your phone calls. It seems like you're doing your best issue.
But really, come on, we're talking about millions of women who are voting. They made 40% of the election in Afghanistan was women. That's a transformation of the society.
Well, that's wonderful, and I want to hear from those women. I really do. So why don't you...
Why don't you interview... She was doing an interview. Fasha Kofi, she is the most... They killed her whole family.
You know, thank you. I appreciate that. But one call per night is quite enough, thanks. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Well, you know, I think like an underreported thing in recent years is towards the end of his life, Martin Luther King said he had like misgivings. He said like he thought like he and his movement was buying into a burning house, you know. But that aside, well, it should be mentioned because you're getting like a call that, you know, a caller talking about the transformation of Afghanistan. Actually, the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, that was the real transformation. That was like literacy went up like many full times, and women had basically secular rights.
Yeah, well, I support most definitely the rights of women, and I'm going to look into this and see if it's possible to speak to someone in regard to this issue. But I'm not willing to be systemically harassed over an issue that I'm not prepared to speak of in this moment. I'm just really responding myself as a woman, as a human being. I hear the story. I'm willing to follow up on it. Let's do that, and let's not play these other games, because I'm wondering what is the issue behind the issue. You know, so that to me it's beginning to feel that there's something else happening, and so I don't want to play into that. So I'm just going to take the time to research it, see if I can find someone who is actually capable of speaking on the issue from this perspective of these women, and I think that's the way to cover it, and
To go further, like, maybe like during the course of your broadcast, if you can mention upcoming events, because I would like to get someone involved in the protests locally. I'm from like Staten Island, so.
Well, yeah, I think that that's a wonderful idea, and we'll look into doing that. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
You
okay.
too.
All right, bye.
Am I overreacting? No? Okay. The number here is 212-209-2900. And let's try another call. Hello. Whoops. Okay, sorry about that. Missed you. And I'm going to play a piece of music and maybe change the energy just a bit. Okay, that was a piece called Stairway to the Stars, and I just wanted to calm the energy down just a little bit. And, you know, we were having a little conversation in the background about some of the energy of our phone calls, and I really felt it was necessary to move on from the whole Afghanistan story, because I'm saying to myself, you know, there's a backstory here that needs to be explored. And I don't know the woman who's running for president, but based on this phone call, it seems like there may be a sponsorship there. And it seems, you know, like we have a black president. Doesn't mean that he does a lot for black people. So having a woman president, we might have next a woman president in this country, doesn't mean that she's going to have the perspective of a goddess woman. She may have the perspective of a warmongering person. So the fact that a person is a male or a female or a particular color or a particular race is not a determining factor for myself. It's the person's integrity, their politics,
content,
their history. So there needs to be a look at these stories and these issues and not be pushed into and the acknowledgement based on the rants or the agendas as they may be presented. And I just, the truth of it is, I'm a slower responder. So if Robert Knight was here, he would have had something to say immediately. He could have responded that very quickly. Me, I have to go back, I have to do some research, I have to try to call some people, I have to do some interviews, pull it together, see what's happening on the ground, and then I can bring back that to the air. And that's going to be my course of action. Because I don't have that lightning speed political mind of the late Robert Knight. So I'm being honest about that and honoring what he was able to do and what I'm able to do. We live in different histories, different worlds, and different ways of understanding things. So I apologize to the sensibilities of anyone who thought I was cutting the gentleman off. And I was, but I take responsibility for that. But I just wanted to explain that I was detecting something, an agenda. And so, that being the case, I prefer not to share this time with a hidden agenda, whatever that might be. The number here is 212-209-2900, and you're listening to WBAI Radio in New York, 99.5 FM on your dial, WBAI.org on the web. I'm Catherine Davis, here with Paulette Spencer, and this is an interim space, and we are calling this space Earth at Midnight. And we have come in with some music and opening the lines to your comments, thoughts, and questions. And hopefully they will be presented in such a way that is responsible. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I would just like to say a couple of things.
Yes.
Number one, this thing is not just in Ferguson or Jersey or all the states that is happening in the United States. This is global. Look at what's happening in Palestine.
Yeah.
Look at what's happening in every country of color. These people in America are warmongers that manufacture, make bombs, planes to drop the bombs, the bullets and all that. And they're not going to just stock and save them and put them somewhere. They're going to use them. And they're going to use them on people that can't fight back. Why are we not running up in Russia telling them what to do about the Ukraine? Why is that? Could you answer that, please? And also, you know, this is just a global conspiracy. And this is happening all over. They're not just killing us in America. They're killing us worldwide. I don't know whether it's because it's a known fact that Caucasian people are really the minority around the world, and they're scared that what they did to us is going to be perpetrated on them. But people of color don't act like that and react like they do and are not devilish like them.
Well, I appreciate your perspective, and I don't believe that it is a race-based phenomena. I believe that it is a mind-based phenomena, and it may be that there are Caucasians involved in this process, but there are also people of every race involved in this process of violence against humanity. So I'm not going to that space of saying it's, you know, the white people are attacking the black people. It's not that. I believe that a part of it is that seems to be what's happening in the world, but it's happening because in all of these situations, people of color have sold out to people in power and allowed that breakdown to take place. There has to be a level of self-responsibility in these processes. When you look through and you look in and you see what's happening, you'll see that it's happening on all sides of the equation. And to reduce ourselves to saying it's about those people puts us in exactly the same place, makes us exactly the same mindset. And so I'm not willing to go to that place with you. You can go there. I'm not willing to go with you.
Okay, can I just interject something, please?
Yeah, of course.
And that is this, that let's see how many people are with us, all those people that are marching in different colors and all that. Let's see how many people are with us in getting our reparations.
Well, we'll have to see then. Thank you. I don't know. I don't see much happening as far as reparations are concerned, and I actually could use that. Hello, you're on the air. Hi, you're on the air.
Am I on the air yet?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. I have to turn my radio off. Okay, I've been listening for about a half an hour or so. Well, actually, when you first came on the air. And I said, well, at what point do I come in and say something? And
so you found the point.
Well, yeah, well, there were so many different points. Like, my head is spinning. Like, so much needs to be said, but only a short space in which to say it. And we have to share that time with a million other people who have other perspectives.
Well, this is your time.
Okay, so now, first of all, I respect how you handled the whole situation because, you know, when I'm not on camera or on the air, oh, I can talk, I can break down, blah, blah, blah. As soon as the camera comes on, as soon as you get on the radio, something happens, and, you know, it's hard to, you know, keep focus. So I'm listening to you, and I'm studying, you know, the way you communicate to help me and others who would like to communicate, you know, intelligently, comprehensively, and get some effective results. So that was wonderful. However, in terms of the issue of race, now, to say this is not a racial thing, I'm looking at an article right now that's entitled, a long title, Criminalization of Homelessness in U.S. Criticized by the United Nations. And I don't know if you're familiar with CERD, but this is the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination. We cannot say racism does not exist.
I didn't say that you did.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying in terms of all that's going on, as the brother just mentioned before me, that is it a black and white thing? Is it not a black and white thing? What's happening all over the world is, you know, happening here. And the first thing that came to mind is Malcolm X, when he took his Hajj, and he saw that there were Muslims of various other nationalities and colors, that was an eye-opener. But when he came back to America, the Organization for African Unity was still necessary because here we were dealing with the scope of racism at another level, okay? That didn't stop. People were still being hung from a tree. James Byrd was dragged from, dragged to his death. And we're not going to mention the whole other millions of other things that are happening to men, women, and children. And we're definitely not going to get too deep into the homeless issue right now, but however, I would love to see all those issues mentioned as you brought it up, to do the research and make opportunity for those issues to be dealt with, not just the I can't breathe and, you know, hold your hands up, because each one of those sons had mothers. And 2 days ago at the state office building, Dr. Suche held a pro-voice gathering of women around the issue of not only economic development, but how do you tie in economic development with five mothers from around the world, including here, who lost their sons to police brutality?
Mm-hmm.
You see? So you cannot disconnect anything that was mentioned here. And I'm glad that you did go off the air and talk about it and come back and mention that you did consider that. That was very intelligent. That was very compassionate. And there are so many different perspectives because people have different vantage points. And it is divine. It's all coming from the top. The fact that we breathe is divine, okay? Whether we say we believe in God or not, the fact that we breathe. So WBAI covers the scope of things. And my question to you is there a program on the air where people who are called homeless are actually, involved with creating the program and the dialogue, getting certain skills so that we can intelligently communicate answer people's questions and deal with all kinds of personalities that want to make the phone calls. You know what I'm saying? Talk about.
Well, as far as I know, there isn't.
Bring agendas.
As far as I know, there isn't such a program. We have an interim program director who might be open to such a program, but. As far as I know, there isn't. And, you know, the point I would like to respond, before you go on, I would like to respond to the issue of it's not about race is not really the point I was trying to make. So I'm trying to clarify this. The point I'm trying to make is that there's a level of consciousness in someone such as yourself. I mean, it sounds to me like you're part of maybe the African movement or, you know, a people's party, someone who's very active and involved in some of these issues. In fact, all of the callers have that that flavor to it, that it's, there are people who listen to the station who are involved, who have consciousness of what's going on around the world. They can look at the details of things and see the, you know, with greater depth what's happening. But there's also a level of unconsciousness in the greater population. And so I always feel that when we reduce things to slogans of, you know, it's the white people that are doing it, it sort of creates a dynamic that is unhealthy. And it creates a dynamic of causing people to look and blame and point fingers and not really invite people to look into the details of what's happening and to formulate a response and to formulate a communication, a community in which people can respond collectively and can allow people to look at what they need to do in their lives, what they need to do legally, what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? So it's such a big picture that blaming it on any whole group of people, to me, is not constructive. And so, and I stand by that, that it's just not constructive, because what happens is that people are then encouraged to respond in that way and be hostile towards another whole group of people, which, whether or not those people deserve it, is not the point. It turns you into that very same energetic force of destruction. Do you see what I'm saying? And you begin to destroy yourself as you reach out to destroy others.
Twice you asked me if I see what you're saying, and what I would like to do, I want to leave my number with you when I get off the air, because I want to take this further. Those other callers...
Well, you know what you can do?
You said it also, that yes, we need to give space and time to all those issues, the one who you feel has an agenda. The brother mentioned reparations, but in all of this that people are bringing to the, you know, to the airwaves... I don't know if you've heard, when people were rallying, they were talking about people were not just galvanizing around the issue of the indictment or failure to indict, but they were bringing all of the issues to the table. So if I come and join the rally, I'm going to say, this is what's happening to me. And somebody else is going to come and say, this is what's happening to me. So there are many different categories, okay, of issues, and some kind of way we've got to make room for them, in particular at a table of brotherhood, based on what Dr. King said, that he said he has a dream that on the Red Hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, he said that we'll be able to sit down to a table of brotherhood and deal with this, and to dismiss the fact that when America came into being, that you can say that it was African people that sold their people, but if I come to you and I say, would you buy these people, and then would you lynch them for me too? You know, whose responsibility is it, okay? So the issue of reparations and the issue of the Declaration of Independence, which I don't understand why no one has brought that to the table, the Declaration of Independence. We talk about the Constitution. We have not talked about Circular 3591. Write that down, Circular 3591. Everyone who's listening, nobody ever says there is a penalty for committing the act of slavery. We only say that we are enslaved, our minds, our feet, our ankles, okay, police brutality. But we don't talk about the penalty for committing the act of slavery. And I called our alternate Maddox into this to do the research, and
yes,
I can't stand for the life of me why we have not called the entire black student population to research.
Well, you know what? You know,
I understand
what you're saying, but I'm also seeing, and hearing this evening these calls are coming in, I'm presuming, from Alton Maddox's organization, which is fine. So maybe it is that we need to. Maybe it is that we need to have him on.
Judgment, right? And we do. But you made a judgment about what you think I might be associated with. You didn't ask me who am I and what do I do. So I just listened. I said, well, you know, I'll just let her put it out there wherever she wants to put it out there.
Yeah.
But you didn't ask me who I am and what do I do. Okay.
I'm not making it. I'm not making it as a judgment. I'm saying that I've received a series of calls in which Alton Maddox has been named, in which the issues that he's talking about are being discussed, and I'm saying, yeah, this is what I'm hearing.
With the fact that black people are not united, I'm concerned that gentrification is everywhere, and we can't say that Dr. King mentioned unearned white privilege and unearned black suffering. He said unearned black suffering is redemptive. We cannot dismiss the issue of in Harlem, you have a predominant black population that's decreasing all from Washington.
Okay,
and everywhere
thanks.
Else. And we are, there's an influx of others, including Europeans, but we can't say black and white. Because we're more concerned
I'm not saying you can't say black and white. I'm asking I'm speaking my truth, you speaking your truth, and I'm just simply in recognition of what's happening this evening, which is fine.
You
know, I opened up the phone calls.
Yeah, there's so much that I want to talk to you about, and I'm sure everyone else who's listening that.
Well, if you can, you probably already have my email because I'm getting lots of email.
I don't even listen to the radio. For some reason, I turned the radio on tonight.
Okay,
I
have to move on. I really appreciate your call, and
I want to contact,
but not over the air. Not over the air.
I said I'm going to call back and leave my number.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay?
Thank you. Bye. Yeah, this is the United, I think it's African movement, that I'm feeling the energy of. I don't know who the callers are specifically, but that's what it seems to be. You know, I'm very intuitive, perceptive, and I just hear the message that this is the message of Alton Maddox's organization, and which is fine. It needs to come to the air, but I just wanted to acknowledge that that's what I'm hearing. So we're just about out of time. We're reaching the end of the program. And, you know, what I think the larger issue here, which is really interesting, our new interim program director is opening up the window for a lot more political talk programs, and I think people are starving for that. Over the last year, WBAI has, because of economic reasons, has had to shut down a lot of the talking, responsive programs, and which is why I like to open the phones. And I think that there's a real need for it, but also I find that I need to respond, like with the caller from Iraq, when there's an underlying cause to the flavor of what's happening. And that's what I'm hearing, that this is a message that is really needing to get out. And this radio program has become the portal in this moment for that message. Do you have any thoughts about anything we've covered tonight? No? Okay. So the number here is, well, we're out of time. It's 1:17, and it's been a very interesting evening with you. And I'm going to go back to a little bit of music, I think. And let's see, what should we play?
Young Rascals.
What is the name?
Young Rascals, Wanna Be Free.
Wanna Be Free, okay. Let's see if I can find that. Okay, people got to be free?
Right.
Okay. So I want to thank you for joining us. The phones are quite lit up, but we're unfortunately out of time. That was a oldie but goodie. People got to be free. And that's what we're all looking for. And so, well, we have a few minutes. Shall I venture to this caller, or maybe it's the someone calling back? Hello, you're on. Hello. Okay. Let me put you on hold, and so we won't have you on the air. I think that was the woman calling back so that we can follow up. And I think that that's a good idea. It's important to open up the door to all the different issues that people have and perspectives that people have. My perspective is one that is governed primarily by spirituality. But I recognize that you can't be spiritual and be unpolitical. You know, politics is a spiritual issue. What's happening in the world are spiritual issues. I think it's just a question of how we deal with it, how we confront it, how we process things. And from my perspective, and I think a lot of it has to do with being in situations of conflict and controversy, is having that struggle of not becoming the oppressor, because the oppressed can become the oppressor. Actually, Majid Ali was talking about that earlier, that as you build the resentment and the anger, then you can turn that around and justify your own behavior against potentially innocent. And so I'm always feeling and finding that part of my calling as a spiritual practitioner is to try to purify my own intent and my own way of engaging in the world so that I don't become mind controlled and begin to adopt the ways of the oppressor and how I deal with issues and problems in life. So I don't want to be the person that has retribution against another, even though that person might have done something that I felt hurt by. I don't want to, move into a state of hatred or blame of other people based on a generality, because the people I come in contact with are not usually the power brokers. Whatever color they are, they're not the power brokers. And so I think it's important that we guard and be conscious of our own humanity, and we're conscious of how we engage and deal in the world in such a way that we can build strength within ourselves, within our communities, without becoming that which we could potentially hate. And now that's just my personal thing, and it has a lot to do with being in an environment in which I felt abused, being in an environment in which I felt attacked, being in an environment in which I felt, things were not quite correct. And it took me a while to reach a point where I could say, this is not, well, I have every right to stop the oppression, I have every right to stop the abuse, I don't want to then further become that thing that I'm trying to stop. So that's really my personal way of doing things. We're about to switch over to our next program, so I want to thank all of you who have called this day. And you've been listening to an interim space here on WBAI called Earth at Midnight. And we were for a long time rebroadcasting the archival programs of Earthwatch and 5 O'Clock Shadow with Robert Knight. And it became, I guess, within the consciousness of our management and programming, that people do want to come to the air and have a chance to talk and to breathe into the space of WBAI. And that's what we've been trying to provide in this interim space. There may come a time when it will be something else. It may be a spiritual program. It may be a more political program. We don't know. But I want to thank you for joining me today and say hello to my colleague, Jim Freund. Hello, Jim. Come
hello,
to the
mic. Kathy Davis.
Catherine, thank you.
Oh.
And so I want to thank you all. We're going to go to some closing music and make some space for Jim to start his program, Hour of the Wolf. And I'm going to play a song. I'm not sure what it's going to sound like, but I like the name of it. And it is called Superwoman by Alicia Keys. Because this program has had a lot of great women on it. My co-host today, Paulette Spencer. I'm Catherine Davis. And we've had some really fabulous female callers and female causes. So thank you.
Stay tuned to hear one of the other great women of this world, Cherie Renee Thomas. Superwoman.
And you're tuned to WBAI in New York.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program of science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. Right after Dan Persson's movie review for this week, we will have with us one of my favorite people in the world, and one of the most important people ever to change the face of science fiction, Shereen Renee Thomas. Stay tuned.
I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. How about a little 70s erotica to invigorate the blood in these cold, cold months? Yeah, I thought that'd get your attention. Over the next 2 weeks, IFC is re-releasing here in New York a couple of films by director Valerian Borowczyk, who started as an animator and then moved into live-action films that toyed with all variety of taboo matter. I first heard of these films back during their initial releases and have long wanted to see them, even though the responses at the time were, to put it mildly, mixed. I chalked it up then to the fact that the two films combined revel unabashed in such subjects as lesbianism, incest, bestiality, and everyone's favorite, the affection of the clergy for young, young boys. Well, I finally got my chance to see the films, and my reaction is...
Well, we're going to have to wait a moment to see what Dan Persons' reaction was, because, Cherie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Okay. I just want to make sure you were there and thank Catherine Davis for making this happen. So now we can find out what Dan Persons' reaction was. Okay. Talk to you in a minute or 3 minutes.
To put it mildly, mixed. The film that will be opening this coming weekend, Immoral Tales, is an omnibus of four short stories, and with the exception of the sequence devoted to the Hungarian Countess Elizabeth Bathory, who, according to legend, bathed in the blood of young virgins to retain her youth, it doesn't really qualify as fantasy except by the greatest stretch of the definition. By the way, Paloma Picasso plays Bathory, and going by Borowczyk's interpretation of history, you wouldn't believe how much sapphic frolicking preceded the atrocities, and how much group showering. Lots and lots of group showering. Surprising for the 17th century, I think. The actual murders aren't shown. In an inversion of the typical American aesthetic, Borowczyk is perfectly down with graphic, albeit softcore, depiction of any variety of sexuality, not so much with explicit gore. Kind of refreshing in that way. Now, the film that opened this past weekend, The Beast, hosts closer to true fantasy, but here again, your mileage may vary. Part of that is because of the genesis of the film. At one point in The Beast, the young female protagonist, played by Lisbeth Hummel, fantasizes herself being pursued and ravaged in the forest by a fur-covered, human-like, and very well-endowed creature. That sequence was originally intended for Immoral Tales, but instead became the centerpiece around which Borowczyk built a tale about two affluent families consolidating their power through the marriage of their children. And let's just say the hybridization isn't pulled off elegantly. The larger tale has its fantastic and taboo components as well, plus sequences of horse breeding so graphically detailed that it had caused discomfort at an animal husbandry seminar. But too much time is spent on rarefied family politics, whether the son will get his baptism, whether a family member who's also a cardinal will bless the union. Altogether, it feels like an awkward concatenation of class satire and blunt sexuality. Bunuel could pull this kind of thing off. Borowczyk doesn't quite nail the landing. All told, both The Beast and Immoral Tales feel like films very much of their time. The 70s was the period when restraints were really lifted off film, and directors were emboldened to explore topics they never could before. And frankly, I don't think they've quite been able to since. We've kind of slipped back in that way. But at times, the zeal to push the envelope overrode all other considerations. There are only so many boobs and pubic close-ups you can take before overload sets in. As erotica, Immoral Tales worked a little better for me than The Beast. Paul Schrader's Cat People, for all its flaws, approached the topic with more elegance and erotic power. Still, few present-day filmmakers, I'm thinking maybe Greg Araki, prime amongst them, are quite as gleefully eager to push buttons as Borowczyk was. I gotta give both Immoral Tales and The Beast points for that, even if I wish I had emerged a little less aroused and a little more amused. I'm Dan Persons. Remember, we are archiving these reviews over at my Mighty Movie Podcast website, so if you want to catch up on what you missed, please check out mightymoviepodcast.com. www.seventeenthedecember.com.
Oh, my God. What a... Jeez. Okay, everybody, take a cold shower. And, but bring your radio in there so that, you will, well, let's move on. Good morning, Cherie.
Good morning, Jim.
Okay, now that I have you on the air and everything seems to be working, let me take up a bit of airtime by saying... I think you've heard this rap, and I haven't done it in a while, so I'm forgetting aspects of it. But basically, I think there are five anthologies in science fiction that changed the scope of science fiction. And one of them was probably, I'll toss in some series in there, Star Science Fiction, edited by Frederick Pohl. The Best of the Best, which is an anthology by Judith Merrill that collected her best of. And the reason that hers were so important, the Fred Pohl books took science fiction out of pulp and brought it to literature. The Judith Merrill included writers from around the world and got translators for them. Ooh, all of a sudden... It wasn't just the same-o, people in astounding and amazing stories. Then I guess at that point comes Dangerous Visions, which embodies what was called the new wave of science fiction and gave... old masters like Frederick Pohl and newer masters.